on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. We're closing in on the end of October. That means crossover season is coming quickly. The women's basketball team had an exhibition last week as they competed against Colorado State. Men's team, of course, scrimmaged at Northern Iowa. They will have a exhibition this Sunday at home against Northern Arizona. And obviously football, volleyball, all of it, soccer in full swing. And coming up on the end of their regular seasons here over the next couple of weeks, this is the final week of the regular season for the women's soccer team. And of course, the golf teams just wrapped up their fall seasons as well. And I know you probably saw this, but man, hats off to Joe Rowing, who had a 10 under par 62 round in the final round of their competition down in Louisiana to wrap up the fall season, helping the Coyote men's golf team to a second place team finish. So what a showing by the group. And they set some team scores and obviously an individual score at 62 with 10 under par for Joe Rowing as well. So congratulations to all of them. And now they go into the winter getting themselves ready for the spring season, which will start in February for both the men's and women's golf teams. Our episode today, we'll get a preview of the Illinois State Redbirds. Both the Redbirds and the Coyotes come into the matchup knowing how important this is as far as the big picture and needing a win to try to propel itself towards playoff conversations. We will also get a season preview of men's basketball with head coach Eric Peterson. Let's get it started this week with Coyote defensive tackle Chris Dixon. He has been an important piece to the Coyote defense up front with Mo Newsom. We had a chance to chat this week and talk about his growth in the Coyote program and now getting many opportunities here in this season.
Chris, we're getting through the season. Only crazy to think, only four games left in the regular season. You look at this season so far for this team. How would you kind of describe the ups and downs of the season so far?
I think it was just, you know, something new to us. No, we have a lot of guys that in roles that they weren't in last year, and that kind of, you know what I mean. So yep. I think once after Iowa State, we kind of just were like, okay, we need to get back on track, keep the one thing, keep going, have the 1-0 mindset, and then and kind of just like keep the main thing, you know, move past it, 24-hour rule. So that's kind of been our stick. Well, that's kind of been what we've been trying to do.
So just keep grinding through the season. And talk about players in different roles. Your role has grown this year. You've been in the program for a few years here, and now you're getting an opportunity to be that one of those main pieces up front defensively. What has this season meant to you personally, getting the reps and the opportunities that you've gotten?
I mean, it was kind of just like, it's for me at least, it was kind of just like, I just need to step up. You know, I learned to watch from the years I've been here. It's always either been Blake and Mo, so I kind of watched them, see how they went about their business. And then obviously when Blake left, I was like, okay, I gotta step into that role now, and I gotta help my team out in any way possible. And yeah,
when you get guys like that, Blake and Mo, how do you learn from those guys while you're waiting for your opportunities? I mean, you obviously, you know, played some last year in and out in the rotation, but what do you take from guys like that?
I see what questions they're asking, what are they looking at, is his foot back or his foot, like which even with his other foot. So I kind of watch how they move. And obviously, I don't try to copy it completely. I kind of like try to have my own little sparkle into it, but I see what they do right, and kind of watching Blake for what, three years, I also asked him like what I need to do, anything I need that he sees in me that I need to work on and what I'm good at and everything like that.
Yeah, you keep growing and roll. One thing that you've been really good at this year, probably an underrated part of your game that I hope people appreciate, you've knocked down some passes this year. Yeah. You know, you don't always get to the quarterback. And, I mean, you made a ton of tackles, but you're getting back in there, throw your arms up in the air. Do you know you have a chance to knock that thing down, or is it kind of just throw the arms up and see what happens?
If I know for a fact the ball's gonna come out quickly, I'll be like, okay, I don't have a chance to sack the quarterback or hit the quarterback. So I'm like, okay, I'm just affecting him in another way, which is batting down his pass and make him aware that I'm gonna try to bat it down and make it harder for him to throw the ball. So,
I mean, for as many times as you got your hands on the football, we got to be getting an interception soon, don't we?
I know. Every time I go back to the position, we're like, oh, Chris, you got to pick that up, I'm like, ah, oh. I know, next time, I'm going to try.
You look at the last few years, what have you tried to work on individually to continue to get better at, to prepare yourself for a year like this year where you're getting a lot of reps?
Obviously, one of the bigger things that kind of came up was my weight. I came here at like 320, you know, and then this season I got down to like 290, and lost like maybe like 5% body fat since the spring. So that's kind of what I've been kind of working on, trying to make myself a little faster. So
has that been hard to, you know, you get the realization of, look, I got to cut this down if I'm going to be good at this level. Was it hard to get into that mode and get yourself in the playing shape that you are now?
I think it's a different journey for everybody. For me, I had my ups and downs, but obviously Coach Traver and the strength staff got me right. They taught me what to eat, what to work on, and yeah.
You're playing this year right alongside a lot of guys get mixed in there, but it's been you and Mo a lot of it. And Mo found out right before fall camp that he was going to be able to play for another year. What's it like playing with him and you guys being that kind of duo in the interior?
I mean, it's nice, you know, at least it's nice to have someone that's been there. So, like, even in the game, I'll be like, hey, Mo, what am I supposed to do on this? Or you can help me out with this or not. And obviously, like, he's a good leader. So he's always like, keep going, keep doing your thing. And it kind of helps out. You know, especially since I'm one of the only guys that came, that are returning, that played. So it kind of helps out a little bit.
When the offense of the other team breaks their huddle and they're coming to the line of scrimmage and you're getting ready to line up, what are you looking for? What are you trying to figure out yourself so you put yourself in the best position to either stop a run or get to the quarterback?
First thing, I look at the demeanor of the O-line, see what he's looking at, what he's saying, and then I just look at the running back, see how relaxed he is or how tense he is. So, yeah, and then I also look, and like before the play, I look at the down and how far they need to go, so I know how to play it and kind of predict what they're going to do. So.
You have three games this season where you've got eight tackles in a game, including the first two of the year. Coming off of an eight-tackle performance, interior D linemen don't get a lot of tackles, right? Oftentimes they're just kind of space eaters that are trying to allow linebackers to fill the gap. What has allowed you to be so successful and find opportunities to make tackles?
Kind of just a scheme, you know, just doing what the coaches are telling me to do. And try to do a little bit extra off it, and just do my 111th, and really just run to the ball, you know, because that's something that they teach us every single day at practice: run to the ball. So that's just what I kind of just been doing.
You're a Toronto guy.
Yeah.
How'd you end up in South Dakota from Toronto?
So when COVID just started happening, I went to a prep school called St. Thomas More in Connecticut, I was there for 2 years. I took a post-grad year too. And then, I went on bus tours with someone named Josh, Josh from Gaines Sports. He's down in Florida. He helped me connect to one of the coaches that was here when I got recruited. And then my head coach also at my school also played at Iowa, so he kind of had the Iowa connection too. So those two kind of helped out with my recruiting, especially Josh.
I'm sure right now, I know you're loving the season. You're loving being here. You'd love to be at home right now getting ready for a World Series, right? You a big Blue Jays fan?
Yeah, yes, I am.
What was that like last night to see this team reach the World Series?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I mean, it's good that we have there's a Canadian team representing Canada out there, you know. And I always support my Toronto teams. It kind of reminds me of the 2019 Raptors, so.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll get a run. We'll see. It starts this weekend, so games 1 and 2 in Toronto. I'm sure you'll be locked in on that when you're not on the game field for the Oats or in film or wherever you might be.
Of course.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. Chris, I'm curious, like, you grew up, obviously, in Canada, in Toronto. Do you follow the Canadian Football League? I mean, I know a lot of people still follow the NFL. Was that big for you, like the Argonauts being right there? Do you follow the CFL?
I didn't really start following like the CFL until I was like maybe 15, maybe like 14, and that's because I played on a club football team in Toronto, and some of the older kids from that team play in the CFL now, and so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna follow it a little bit, and then obviously Travis Tice is in the CFL, so I'm like, okay, let me follow it even more, a little more, so. And then, like, whenever I go home, like, I always, like, try to catch a game before I come back down for the summer. So,
yeah. Well, pretty cool to see guys. We've had a few guys go up into the CFL and get their opportunity. Maybe one day you'll be playing there if you're not in the National Football League, whatever might be next for you. Yeah. You look at just the rest of the season, obviously a 3-game homestand coming up. How excited are you to finally get some home games? We spent a lot of time on the road.
I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, you're playing against some good teams, and that kind of gets me excited. That gets me, like, a little jittery, and, you know, obviously it's going to be a grind because we're in the Missouri Valley. Every team in the Missouri Valley is good, but it's going to feel nice to have home field advantage and, you know, be home and have the environment around and everything, so.
Well, make a big play. Get that crowd fired up, will you?
I'll try to.
All right, man. I appreciate the time very much. Good luck the rest of the year.
All right, thank you.
That is Chris Dixon. He is having himself a great season. The Toronto, Canada native, and obviously is enjoying the Toronto Blue Jays, the opportunity to be in the World Series as well. I had a chance to chat with Eric Peterson, the head men's basketball coach at South Dakota, to talk about what we can expect this season from the Coyote men's basketball team.
Coach, the season fast approaching. Before you know it, I mean, we're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the season. Before you know it, we'll be into that month of November and flying through it. Does it feel like it's flying up on you?
What day is it today? I joke around with our staff and my wife, too, that once you get in the season, you don't even know. Like, you just know, hey, I have a game in 3 days or whatnot. But it goes so fast. The summer went really fast. We have a small segment in the fall that, you know, we get 4 days a week or whatnot. And then the season was here like that. And we've already had a scrimmage. We have an exhibition this Sunday. So, yeah, it's going really, really fast, but I'm excited to get going.
Yeah, you talk about that exhibition. I know your team played a scrimmage last week, and now you get the exhibition. How important are these type of games for your program before game one?
Yeah, I think they're really important. If you've followed social media or whatnot, some of the high major coaches are talking about we should play more of these games because we go for 8 weeks from the summer. We had the fall segment. There's just a lot of time without any games, and I think it would make our game better. And I agree with Coach Forbes at Wake Forest that if we got to play maybe 3 or 4 exhibition games, or at least scrimmages, maybe they let us do 2 scrimmages, 2 exhibition games to get ourselves ready to play the first game on November 3rd. I think that's really, really important. A lot of people read into scores and whatnot, and I'm all about trying to play different lineups and just seeing who plays well together and getting maybe some young guys some experience. So you can take what you want out of some of these exhibition or scrimmage scores, but the bottom line is we have to get ready to play November 3rd against Utah Tech.
You know, it's good for your team to get out and play in a game situation. It's also good for the officials to get out there and kind of get themselves ready for game number one. How often is it just scrimmages and exhibitions? How often do you use officials so that your guys understand what they're doing?
Yeah, we usually bring them in 3 or 4 times in practice. And maybe you guys have seen some pictures of officials in our practices. I think that's really important. They're willing to do it for a discounted rate. They make good money. But and it just gets them warmed up. And I love it because I want them to coach our guys in practice, where if they do something and a guy kind of looks at them like, hey, what? They'll stop and they'll explain it to them, where they don't do that in games. Sometimes they do, like during a timeout, you see them talking or whatnot. But there's new rules every single year too. And I always have them do kind of like a rules clinic after practice on different changes. There's a continuation rule now, similar to the NBA. So you'll see a lot more of that, where somebody gets fouled and maybe takes an extra step or an extra dribble and puts it up and maybe gets two free throws out of it. So you got to train your guys at practice to the new rules and to adjust. And I love having those guys at practice because it helps them, but obviously it helps us to get ready for the exhibitions and obviously the first week.
Well, people will be excited to see your team in the first week. You get two home games, three total games in week number one of the season. Why not hit it off with a bang? You look at this team, you know, last year there were some seniors that graduated, obviously a couple of departures and some people who had been around the program for a while, a couple who made one-year impact type of situations. How has this team changed since a year ago?
Yeah, it's been different. I was going into the Northern Iowa scrimmage or exhibition, whatever you want to call it, and I told our staff there's two guys that are playing for us right now that played the entire season last year, Isaac and Shea. And then, of course, Jake and Cam had season-ending injuries. So, but that's common. It's low to mid-major basketball, where if you keep half your team, you're really, really lucky. If you keep more than that, it's probably crazy. And Northern Iowa did. They kept, I think, like 72% of their scoring or production or whatnot. So that was a really good test for us. But our team's going to look different as far as the players, but I think the playing style will be very similar to last year. I don't know if we can play as fast. We were number two in the country in pace. When you have older guys, you can probably play like that a little bit more. We're playing five freshmen right now, or three freshmen, two redshirt freshmen, guys that have never played before, and it takes a lot of responsibility to take care of the ball if you play that fast. And we were the number one team in the country and not turning it over, and that's the goal. But I fully understand we have some younger guys, so we might need to take a little bit more time off the clock than we did this past year. But similar system, different players. It's a fun group. Obviously, we'd love to have you guys come watch on Sunday and get a little preview for what's about to come.
I think one of the top three questions people have asked me is, are they going to press as much as they did last year?
Same. We've changed a few things with our press. I said this last year when you interviewed me, is we were looking at some weaknesses on our team and what we need to do to flip some of those categories the other way, you know, offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, creating more possessions by forcing turnovers, not turning the ball over. We were bottom five in the country in turnovers, and we made a change to our program in order to do that. And every area that I probably mentioned last year got significantly better, and a lot of those were top 10 in the country. And so now you look at it after last season, where we were weak, and we're going to make some changes with the press. Obviously, it's going to help having Cam back there as well at the tail end of the press and just protecting the rim. But I don't want to spoil anything, but we will still press. There's just some unique changes, and it's a way that we can maybe play some guys more minutes, where Isaac, I think he averaged 16 a game in league play and only played 26 minutes. Can we get him to 30 minutes? Can we get some other guys in the upper 20s that maybe would have played 20 minutes last year? So, yeah, just a little different spin on it, but Press Dakota is back.
I think Isaac will tell you he could play 40 minutes if you let him, but a guy who always wants to be on the floor. And I know that, you know, he's obviously a main returner from a year ago. Thought maybe he'd have a chance at preseason player of the year in the Summit League. I know all that stuff's irrelevant, but I know that, you know, this means a lot to him.
Yeah, there's some good returners that have come back. And, you know, at Omaha, Tony Osborne's very good. And Nolan at St. Thomas, I mean, they had a great year and they're picked number one. So we know that the preseason awards really don't mean a whole lot. I'm filling out the form or the poll or whatnot, and I don't even recognize half the names on them. Because, like, what are we doing? And to pick the preseason teams, like, that's even crazier, right? Because if you don't know the players on all league that you're voting for, how do you know the players on the other team? So, I don't know. That stuff is kind of crazy to vote for right now. But Ice really doesn't care. He's about winning. And I got this question at Media Day, is like, how did we get Isaac back? Well, Isaac's very stubborn, and he wants to win here. He's from 25 minutes away. His family can come watch him play. He loves this place, and he wants to do it here. And I think there's some unfinished business for him. And he's taken a huge step forward, too. I think his body looks a lot better. He'll tell you, if you ask him, he's in the best shape he's ever been in. And that's a huge deal for our strength staff. They've been awesome with Coach Plenge. And we've had some new technology, too, that we wear on our either chest or our hip that kind of help us to know how hard we're going every day at practice and what drills we should do each day. So I still tell you he's in great shape, and I expect a huge year out of him.
Yeah, obviously with him back and Cameron Fenn's healthy, Jake Brack healthy and playing hard, it's a good core. And then you mentioned five players that are true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. Great opportunity for young players, could lead to some ups and downs.
Yeah, and we're big on that. We always want to take freshmen. I think every year we've tried to fill all of our empty scholarships with freshmen. And I think there's some value if you can keep those guys around for 2 or 3 years. It's going to be hard. If they're really good, maybe you don't keep them for year 3 and 4. But that, I mean, if they're good right away for you, that's a huge deal that you can get something out of a freshman. So Uzziah, Jesse and Vince are the three true freshmen. They have all played really, really well for us. But I fully understand that there's going to be nights where they're really good and nights where they maybe have some of the downs where they're just not as good because they're freshmen. But the goal is with those guys to try to get them to be like sophomores by Christmas. That's always a goal. I call them the rooks. And Jesse asked me the other day, like, Coach, when am I not going to be called a rook anymore? And I was like, well, you're going to carry the bags all year, like out of the bus, out of the bottom of the bus. So that's fine. But you'll know when I'm going to stop calling you a rook. And he kind of just laughed. But hopefully it's by Christmas. And then Porter Enan and Evan Anderson redshirted for us last year. Those are the other freshmen that are redshirt freshmen. Both have been up and down at practice, but will provide toughness and rebounding for us and just do some stuff that other guys can't do on our roster. So those five guys are returners with Shay, Isaac, Cam, and Jake. And then Jordan Crawford's been very good for us as well, the transfer from Eastern Kentucky. And then Ethan Kaiser, we're just trying to, he's had a bulging disc in his back. So we're slowly trying to get him more game-like minutes to get him healthy for the season.
It's a lot going on. You look at all of that, and I know you get ready for the season. You start with the non-conference, and a lot of times rotation might get trimmed down by the time conference play is. Is this a year where you might see a whole lot of different combos early on in the season?
For sure. I think the longer I coach, the more I realize the non-conference, we have to use it more efficiently and try to play some different lineups to get us ready for conference play. Now, last year, it was kind of all over the place because we had so many injuries and we're just plugging guys and we're playing Max as our five and Paul played the five a little bit for us. And shoot, sometimes Boom was hurt, sometimes he was back. It was just all over the place. And so that wasn't ideal, but I think we'll use this, especially with so many home games, a chance to play a lot of guys and really figure it out so we can be very dialed in by the conference play.
How about that schedule? You start with Utah Tech, obviously a game in which you just wanted to finish at their place last year, and then go to Creighton right away to end the season in day number three, basically, of the season. The schedule, a lot of opportunities in the state of South Dakota, and really the road games are the Big Sky Challenge and high majors outside of conference play.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in scheduling. You try to put it together, and it's harder now to predict because you're predicting teams and you're predicting your team. But the ultimate goal, the number one goal, is how many home games can we get? So we have 9 non-conference home games and then 1 in Rapid City, and then we have an exhibition. So you can count that 11 preseason games in the state of South Dakota. Our road trips, we're at Creighton, we're at Missouri, we're at Kansas State, and then we have 1 road swing where we play Northern Colorado and we go right to Wyoming afterwards. So you know, that trip will be really tough in elevation, but it'll be a very good test for us. And we know one of the things that we have to get better at is playing on the road. If you look at our home record last year, 14-2, we just didn't get it done on the road. And that's a huge priority for us this year, is to find ways to win on the road. And then the Rapid City trip, I guess, technically is a semi-neutral. It's a road game. We're driving 6 hours on a bus out there. But that'll be a good test too against a Mountain West team. Like I tell people, we have 3 high majors, really good high majors. We have 2 Mountain West, and then we have Northern Colorado on the road too. So I'm really happy with our schedule. I told our assistants this. My former boss texted me, and I used to do the scheduling for him, and he just said, best scheduler in the country right there because we have so many home games. And if you look at the other Summit League schools, I don't know if anybody has a better schedule than us.
I know that you've always talked about your team playing hard, and you don't start saying Gata if they don't play hard. But ultimately, what has to be the identity of this team if it's going to perform at a high level and win games?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference you'll see is we play a lot harder than last year. I think in spurts, for sure, I think guys got worn down, they got tired, they were a little injured trying to play. And this year, we're not as, like, probably high-end athletic or high-end talent-wise that we were last year with some guys like Chase, Dre, Caleb, guys that could just create their own shot. We have some of that, but I think across the board, we just play a lot harder and we're way more consistent. Like we gave up 71 points in our scrimmage and we handed them 15 off turnovers. So our defense has been a lot better. So if I had to pick one thing, obviously we want to play hard and that's a given. If you don't play hard, consistent, I can't play you. But I think we have to be a lot better defensively in the half court. And if we are, last year, it changed a lot of things. So that's got to be our identity. I don't want to be in the 300s as far as defensive field goal efficiency. We got to be, you know, top 150 in that to have a chance to win the league.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time very much. Season's coming fast. Good luck this year.
Thank you. Yo, Yotes.
That is South Dakota head men's basketball coach Eric Peterson and a preview of the Coyote men's basketball season that, of course, will officially get underway on November 3rd when the Coyotes host Utah Tech in the back half of a doubleheader. The women will take on York University in the first game of the day and the afternoon, the evening, I should say. 5:30 start time for the doubleheader. Men's game will follow Monday, November 3rd. Get your tickets at GoYotes.com. The Coyote men's team will play three games in the opening week with a road trip on that Wednesday, the 5th, to Creighton in Omaha and then back home to take on Ozark Christian College, which is set for that Sunday, November 9th. Time now to get a preview of the Illinois State Redbirds. Coyotes and Redbirds will play on Saturday. Redbirds have won the majority of the matchups during the series history with these two, but they've not played since 2022. First meeting since then. Had a chance to catch up with John Fitzgerald. He is the radio play-by-play voice of Illinois State. John, Illinois State set to take on South Dakota this week on the road, and of course the Redbirds coming off of a home matchup last week, homecoming for the Redbirds. I know it was a tough loss against Youngstown State, but this season has been interesting for Illinois State, a three-game win streak, and then obviously having the last two home games being North Dakota State and Youngstown State. Never an easy week in this league.
No, you know, and Brock's back has pretty much talked about that from the word go over the last 4 years. It's just whether or not you want to compare it to, say, the SEC or the Power Fours or something like that. But, I mean, boy, and I think this term gets overused a lot, but it really is a bit of a grinder for football teams. Not only the physicality, but the talent level that you face kind of week in and week out. And there really are no easy weeks in this league.
No, and you look at just how things play out in this league, and you know, every time you turn around, it doesn't matter if you're beat up or not. You got to go figure out how to try to win a football game, and Illinois State has done that. They're 4-3 right now, and this is an offense. I look at it, and boy, some veteran guys, and we've seen Winkers right a little bit the last couple of years, and obviously Tommy Rittenhouse really has command of that offense.
Tommy really does, and he's developed, and that's the thing that is so impressive about Tommy. From just over his time here, I mean, 2 years really as a backup to Zach Anikstead, and then what he got here, he was pretty much one-dimensional. I mean, maybe he'd flip a ball out in the flat here and there, but for the most part, he was a running quarterback, and that's drastically changed, really under the tutelage of offensive coordinator Tony Peterson, who's done a phenomenal job with his development. But he's got a deep threat now. He's definitely a guy who goes vertical, but he's able to keep plays alive. And his legs and what he can do with his cleats really ends up being a huge integral part of this offense, where he's really a multidimensional guy under center right now.
Daniel Sopkowitz, an unbelievable receiver. Is he about out of eligibility, or is he a life contract? What do we got going there?
He is the veteran who is going to at least have this weekend off. Suffered a shoulder injury, I should say. Dive in for a pass over the middle in the early portion of the Youngstown State game last week. So Birds will be without the services of Daniel Sopkowitz. So it's been a relatively clean injury report. This week it's gotten a little bit more ugly for Brock's Backs Ball Club.
How about that defense? Seems like they can really get after it. A whole number of TFLs and sacks on the season, and obviously a chunk of interceptions, four from one guy. This defense seems like, you know, at times they're giving up some points, but man, they can lock down when they need to.
Yeah, and that's been the case. There's been a couple of ball clubs that have made late second half runs and gotten on the scoreboard, and the defense is bowed a little bit, but it hasn't fully broken, and then they're able to come up in the last couple of drives with some big plays, big stops, maybe force a turnover, and that's allowed Illinois State to kind of win those games. And Eastern Illinois, Murray State was one on the road a couple of weeks ago where those kind of scenarios played out. The problem with the defense has been, and with Travis Niekamp, who's kind of the veteran DC here, and Brock Spack's a defensive-minded head coach after being the DC for all those years under Joe Tiller at Purdue, it's a ball club that can get pressure, but it's struggled to get pressure this year. And it's a, in essence, a brand new secondary, and that has been a problem at times. So it's really come down to how they dial up the pressure. They've been able to do so when needed, but it hasn't necessarily been consistent. And that's giving quarterbacks, Bo Brungard of Youngstown State last weekend is a perfect example, way too much time to read downfield, A, stay in the pocket, or give them enough time to kind of read the play and turn the corner on the edge. And the one thing you take a look at that's a little bit glaring that I noticed is ISU's been outscored in the fourth quarter this year, 98-40. And it's one in the second half where the defense is really kind of, after getting off to great starts in a lot of games where maybe they're leading 28-3 or something similar, there's been runs that have been put on them in the second half, mid-third quarter, into the fourth quarter. And that's something I think they'd really like to change, is how they can kind of make that a 60-minute game from a defensive effort. That's been a struggle so far.
Yeah, I think everybody always looking to try to shore that up. When you look at this team, what would you say the identity of this group is right now?
One that's still searching, unfortunately, I think, as we head into week eight. I think it's an offensive-minded group, which is a little bit of a rarity for an Illinois State football team. But if you talk about the defense, I think it's one that plays hard. I think the mid-level is obscenely good when you talk about Ty Niekamp, an All-American linebacker, and some of the guys who have developed at the other linebacker spots. Mason Kaplan, for instance, is a converted quarterback who transferred from Valparaiso a couple of years ago, and he's been phenomenal. LeShavian Brown, a couple of the other safeties have been some big hitter guys for them, but I think the secondary and the pass rush is one where they'd like that to be their identity. They just haven't been able to put their thumb on it quite yet consistently.
Well, you talk about shoring up the defense a little bit and some of that, and making that a four-quarter game. But outside of that, if Illinois State wins on Saturday, what really goes well for them?
I think the offense flat out is able to put points on the board and not come out with a lot of three and outs. And that's been something from an inconsistency standpoint offensively. It's almost feast or famine. It might not be a long sustained drive, but it's going to encompass 75, 80 yards and get into the end zone. Or there is a long sustained drive and they're able to put points on the board. But then there's sporadic three and outs, especially at bad momentum times. And that's forced the defense back onto the field. I think if Illinois State's going to win the football game, it's going to be at about 50% run pass, mainly with Winkers Wright and Victor Dawson, the transfer from Cincinnati, being the lion's share of the ball carriers in the backfield. Tommy's going to have a good day, probably 300-plus yards of total offense at the very least. And the defense is going to be able to figure out a way to put pressure on Aiden Bauman consistently and be able to wrap up and tackle. And that's one thing that has lacked defensively that I think's led to some of the problems, is kind of yards after contact, Bird's not being able to consistently kind of wrap up defensively in space.
We talked about the challenge of everything in this league. I saw one of our fans put on social media, it's a playoff game from here on out. It kind of feels that way every week in the Valley. I know both of these teams really feel like they need to get one on Saturday, both South Dakota and Illinois State. Do you feel that way?
100%. I think that's true. And, that's one of those mantras that gets talked about in August or September about, every week seems like a playoff game. in this league. And there's some truth in that. The fact of the matter is right now, at least from an Illinois State standpoint, and I think you guys are probably similar, the backs are against the proverbial wall at this point. I mean, it's on the road at South Dakota for Illinois State this weekend. Come home, take on a Northern Iowa ball club. Then they got two straight on the road. One's Indiana State. The other one's going to be South Dakota State. And then finish up against SIU. So, I mean, if you start breaking down numbers, different things like that, I mean, with the assumption that Illinois State's unable to win at Dana J. Dykow Stadium in a few weeks in Brookings, and South Dakota wins that one, now all of a sudden the Birds have four losses. So there's not a whole lot of room, wiggle room there. If you want to get in the playoffs, likely probably got to be at 8-4, which means got to win this Saturday in Vermilion, win against Indiana State, win against Northern Iowa. Probably could take a loss to South Dakota State, but then everything's going to be on the line most likely in that regular season finale against an SIU ball club here at home.
No doubt. It'll be an interesting stretch, and we'll learn a lot about the league, I think, over the next 4 or 5 weeks of the season. John, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always. Safe travels, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much, John.
That is John Fitzgerald. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Illinois State Redbirds. Big thanks to him for giving us a preview of Illinois State. It's South Dakota and Illinois State on Saturday. Time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics as we start that crossover season, wind down in some fall competitions, but getting ready for the winter sports as well. Coming up on Thursday night, the volleyball team is set to host Denver in a matchup in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. That gets underway at 7 o'clock. Also Thursday night, the women's soccer team will be on the road as they compete at Omaha. They're playing in the final week of the regular season, trying to finish the regular season on a high note. On Friday afternoon, if you haven't been to the new pool, check it out. 3 p.m., it's the women's swim and dive team against Iowa State in the new natatorium at the Wellness Center on campus. Saturday, football takes on Illinois State, top 25 matchup. The Redbirds are 18-20 in the polls. The Coyotes are 21 and receiving votes in the polls. That is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Our pregame coverage on the Coyote Sports Network gets underway at 12 o'clock. You can also watch the game on Midco Sports and ESPN Plus as well. Volleyball is home on Saturday evening as they take on North Dakota. That is set to get underway at 5 o'clock in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. On Sunday, the triathlon team will compete at the West Regional Championship in Fort Worth, Texas. That gets underway at 9 a.m. Men's basketball competes against Northern Arizona in an exhibition at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. And soccer wraps up the regular season at Denver with a 2 o'clock start time in Denver, Colorado on Sunday as well. So lots of things going on. You can always stay up to date with results and the latest schedules, stories, and more at goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.